السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you? الحمد لله. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. جزء نمبر 10. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And know that anything you obtain of war booty, then indeed for Allah is one-fifth of it, and for the Messenger, and for his near relatives, and the orphans, the needy, and the stranded traveler. If you have believed in Allah, and in that which we sent down to our servant on the day of criterion, the day when the two armies met, and Allah over all things is competent. At the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, we learned that the Sahaba had some dispute over who the booty should go to. That يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you about the war booty, that who should it go to, who should take what of the war booty. And what was the response that was given? That the booty is for who? Allah and His Messenger. What you need to worry about is your mutual relationships, is how you are behaving with one another, your akhlaq, your a'mal. Because the objective behind the battle was not to obtain booty, the objective was to attain the pleasure of Allah. So what is the point of that money which you do get your hands on, however you have also acquired the wrath of Allah because of what you have done? So now, after all of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains who the booty should go to, how it should be divided. Remember that ghanima, war booty, is the wealth that is obtained by fighting the enemy in a battle. Amongst the Arabs, the tradition was that whoever finds whatever in the battlefield, they get to keep it. Finders, keepers. However, in Islam, some regulations were put in place. And if you think about it, when an army is defeated, when an army is overcome, what is the objective? That the enemy must be disarmed. Isn't that so? Because if the enemy is left to go with their weapons, what are they going to do? They're going to come and fight you again. So if the Muslims have gotten victory over their enemy, then what is the natural consequence of that victory? That the enemy is going to be disarmed. And if the enemy has managed to escape, then of course, as they were running, they left behind something in the battlefield. One person leaves behind a horse, another person leaves behind a gun, something, an arrow, something or the other is left behind. And also, those that have been killed, of course, their belongings also lie in the battlefield. Now instead of letting all of these things go waste or destroying them, a legal system is put in place to determine what must be done with these acquisitions, with this property. Firstly, what we learn is that everything that is found in the battlefield is to be deposited. Deposited where? With the public treasury or with the leader. No one can take anything from it what they please. And if they do it, this is considered a serious theft, causing a person to go to the fire of hell. So no one can say, oh, I found it, therefore I'm keeping it. No, it has to be deposited. Why? Because this wealth belongs to who? Allah. And no matter what a person has and how much a person has, remember, the wealth that we have in reality belongs to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can we do with it whatever we please? No, we cannot. And this is why we see that when it comes to inheritance also, we cannot do with our property what we will. Even when a person is dying, he cannot waste that money. He cannot do with it whatever he pleases. No, it has to be divided according to a specific law that Allah has revealed. Because ultimately our bodies, our properties, what are they? a trust with us from Allah. They are an amanah. And they must be distributed according to the law of Allah. So even when it comes to the war booty, what do we learn? That it has to be divided according to Allah's law. And how is it to be divided? In this ayah, what do we see? That the booty, once it's all collected, it has to be divided into 5 parts. 5 equal parts. 4 parts are to be divided amongst the fighters. And 1 part of that is to be divided according to how it is mentioned in this ayah. That know that 1/5 of the war booty is for who? The messenger and for his near relatives, the orphans, the needy, the stranded traveler. The 5th part of the war booty is going to be further divided into these 5 portions. Why? Why? Because this must be given to who? This wealth must be distributed in the society in all fairness. Because whenever there are a group of people living somewhere, then remember, the wealth must be shared to some extent. Because it is those with strength, those with some ability, with some power, who keep going forward and who keep making more and more money. And those who are weak, who are suffering from poverty, then what happens? They keep getting left behind. So we see over here that Allah has allotted a share to all people. All people. And from this what we learn is that the wealth that Allah has given us is not just for us. The wealth that we do get our hands on is not just for us. We must also think about other people whom we are living amongst, other people who are in the society, and we must give a portion of our wealth to them also. And we see over here that the correct division is what? It is made a part of iman. Because we see, in kuntum amantum billahi, if you truly believe in Allah, if you truly believe in Allah, then you must distribute this booty according to the law of Allah. Meaning you must abide by the law that Allah has given you. So what do we see here? That if a person believes in Allah, then he must change his actions. He must change his habits even. Because it's possible that there is something we have been doing all our lives. But then we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects something different from us. The Arabs have been practicing this for centuries. That whatever you get your hands on, you take it. In fact, this is the one reason that they would fight. Because they wanted to make money. So over here we are taught that in kuntum amantum billah, if you truly believe in Allah, then you must abide by this law. Then we have to change our habits also. We have to change our behavior also, no matter how much they have become a part of our lives. And we see over here that the person who says with his mouth that he believes in Allah, but then his actions contradict iman, then Allah does not accept such iman. Then Allah says, remember, when you were on the near side of the valley, and they were on the farther side, and the caravan was lower in position than you. The believers are being reminded of the Battle of Badr. That remember, this victory that happened, it didn't just happen because of your own efforts. First of all, the battle that occurred didn't just occur because you wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it about. Because recall, when you were on the near side of the valley, and they, meaning the army of 1,000, they were on the farther side. And the caravan was lower in position than you. Because we see that Abu Sufyan, he was taking the caravan safely from a different route to Makkah. If you had made an appointment to meet them from before, then you would have missed the appointment. If you had decided from before with the enemy that such and such day, at such and such place, you would fight them in battle, what does Allah say? لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ مِيعَاد. Either you would not have shown up or they would not have shown up. Because many times it happens that when we find something difficult, even though we say we're going to do it, we don't end up doing it. Here we see that war is something that's very difficult. And this was the first battle. So Allah says that if you had decided from before, if the day was appointed, you would never have ended up fighting one another. So what do we see? That the circumstances were created such that the Muslims were pushed in the battle, even though they were unprepared, mentally, physically, they were unprepared, but they were pushed into this. Why? Because when we have to do something the first time, we are hesitant. When we have to do something that's new, that we have not done before, that requires a lot of sacrifice from us, then we are hesitant. We keep delaying. And if we were given the choice, we would delay for years and years. So what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws us in that situation. And once we are thrown into it, then we deal with it. And then Allah grants us success also. But it was so that Allah might accomplish a matter that was already destined. So what do we see? That what is destined can never ever be avoided. That those who perished through disbelief would perish upon evidence. And those who lived in faith would live upon evidence. Meaning Allah wanted this war to come about, this battle to occur, this confrontation to occur. Why? So that the truth is made clear and the falsehood is also made clear. Because the Muslims were being opposed since a very long time. They were considered weak. And generally what happens? When someone is seen poor and weak, oppressed, people generally think that they are wrong. They are at fault. They are in the wrong. But with this victory, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those with him are upon haq. And those who oppose them, they are upon falsehood. And indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. What do we see in this ayah? That sometimes in life, certain situations, they come about. And these situations seem very heavy and very difficult on us. And suddenly, these things come about and we consider them to be serious problems. But what happens? We see that in that is also khair. In that is also goodness. Allah puts us in unavoidable circumstances so that we do things we would never do. And then by doing those things, we attain benefits that we could never otherwise attain. Think about it. Would we ever even think of fasting an entire month in summer? Would we ever think about it? An entire month in summer? No. Even if Dhul-Hijjah came in the summer, what would we say? Oh, it's not fard, right? So it's okay. Right? We would give ourselves an excuse. But then what happens? When Allah brings Ramadan in summer, then we have no option. We are thrown into this. Right? What happens when the nights are short? Would we even consider waking up and praying Qiyamul Layl? No. But then what happens when Ramadan comes? We manage to do it. Right? If we're given the option, we would never do it. But when it's made an obligation, when we're thrown into that situation, when these unavoidable circumstances come about, then what happens? We do things we would never do otherwise. And when we do those things, we attain benefits that we could never otherwise attain. So here we see that at the Battle of Badr, the Muslims were made to encounter the enemy, for which they were not otherwise ready. They were not ready. Financially they were not ready. Mentally they were not ready. Physically they were not ready. Even emotionally they were not ready. Because after all, the people who were coming to fight them, who were they? They were their own blood relatives. They were their own friends, who were previously their neighbors. They lived amongst them. So how could they fight against them? But now what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in this situation so they were made to face it. And when they were made to face it, then Allah granted them victory also. Now many times it happens that we like to face our challenges with full preparation. Right? Full preparation. But sometimes we have to face them without any preparation also. So whenever a situation like this occurs, then always remain positive. Always say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. He put me in this situation. I am going to do my best. I am going to accept it. And He will grant success. Remember, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah showed them to you in your dream as few, and if He had shown them to you as many, meaning if you had come to know of their actual numbers, if you knew about the reality, then you believers would have lost courage and would have disputed in the matter. Which matter? Of whether to fight or not. You would never be ready, in other words. But Allah saved you from that. Indeed, He is knowing of that which is within the breasts. Now the difficulty sometimes is far greater than we are made to perceive. Sometimes it happens that we are put in a difficult situation. We think, yes, it's difficult. And we handle it, we manage it. But then what happens? Later on we realize that, oh, that problem was actually much bigger That problem was actually much bigger, but we didn't know the scope of that problem. We didn't know the reality of its situation. Why? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceal it from us for our own good? Because if we knew how great it was, we would never ever go for it. Isn't it so? Like for example, marriage, does it have its problems? Of course it does. Having children, does that have its problems? Of course it does. Now if a person is told, look, you're thinking about getting married, also keep in mind that such and such and such will happen, and such and such and such will happen. Right? And if they're told about all the difficulties of marriage, would they ever agree to marry? No, they wouldn't. But what is it that they are told? Oh, it's so beautiful. Congratulations. Right? And people give them gifts and money and the whole family is happy and the friends are happy. Everybody's celebrating. And they're made to feel this is such a good thing. And indeed, it is a good thing. But the fact is that nothing in life is absolutely perfect. In this life, whatever happens, it will have its problems. There is good to it, and there is also a negative side to it. There is benefits, and there is also hardships. Now what happens? Later on, when a married woman sees, okay, now these are also the challenges of being married, then she gets upset with her family. Why didn't you tell me? How come you never told me that this also happens? Huh? Why? Because if you were told, if you knew, then what would happen? You wouldn't even think about getting married. Having children also, same thing. So many times it happens that ignorance becomes bliss. Right? Then when we don't know about the reality of the problems, then what happens? We are given the confidence to face them. When we face them, yes, the difficulties come, but then Allah also enables us to deal with those problems. He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability. So وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمْ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Indeed, He is knowing of that which is within the breasts. And remember, when He showed them to you, when you met a few in your eyes, and He made you appear as few in their eyes, so that Allah might accomplish a matter already destined, and to Allah are all matters returned. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who have believed, when you encounter a company from the enemy forces, then what should you do? فَثْبُتُوا. Then be firm. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And remember Allah much. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you may be successful. What else should you do? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. What is it that you should refrain from? وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute with one another. Why? Because if you do so, then you will lose courage. And then your strength would depart. Wasbiru, and be patient. Why? Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Because without sabr, nothing can be accomplished. And when you do sabr, then what will happen? You will get Allah's help. Here we learn about very important matters. That when we do face the enemy, when we do face a challenge, when we do face a problem, a difficulty in our lives, when we do face a hurdle in the way of Allah, some pain, some difficulty, then what is it that we need to do? We need to help ourselves. How? By remembering Allah. Don't remember the problems. Remember who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't keep talking about the issues and the problems and the challenges and the difficulties and the pain and the hardship. No. Busy your tongue in the remembrance of Allah. Think about it. When a difficulty does happen, I mean, everybody knows what the challenges are. Isn't it so? Everybody's aware what the difficulties are. Like for example, the month of Ramadan. Everybody knows the days are long. Everybody knows it's summer, it's hot, the nights are short, we are tired. It's understood every person who's fasting is going to be tired, is going to be sleep deprived, is going to be thirsty, is going to be hungry. Then do we need to keep talking about our problems? Do we need to keep saying every day, I'm very thirsty today? Do we need to say every day, I'm very sleepy today, I'm very tired today? Do we need to say it? No, we don't need to say it, because when we say it, what are we doing? We're making our problems worse for ourselves. Isn't it so? So how is it that we help ourselves? فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah much. First of all, be firm. And then secondly, help yourself by the dhikr of Allah. By the dhikr of Allah. For your own good, remember Allah. Because the thing is that this difficulty has come upon us by whose will? Allah's will. He put us in this situation for our own good. So what is it that we need to do in this situation so that we make the most of it? Remember Allah. Because the dhikr of Allah, what does it do? It brings rest, itmi'nan, to the hearts. It comforts the hearts. It takes our fear away. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is frightened by the darkness of the night... Do you ever feel afraid by the darkness of the night? Yeah? Maybe you feel afraid in the night time when you wake up for suhoor, when you're praying in the night. Huh? That it's so quiet, so still outside. And you check, you make sure again and again, are the windows closed, are the doors closed? Right? This fear is there. Whoever is afraid by the darkness of the night, or whoever is afraid of spending wealth in whose way? In Allah's way. Or weakness of facing the enemy, meaning he feels weak to face the enemy, he's afraid of facing the enemy, then he should increase in saying, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. What is it that the person should say to overcome his fear, to rest his heart, to calm his fears? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. For these words are more beloved to Allah than a mountain of gold being spent in the way of Allah. So whenever we're feeling stressed out, afraid in the night, or afraid of facing the challenges that are coming our way, afraid to give money in the way of Allah, then what is it that we need to do? Remember Allah even more. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. You know, every day when you look at your gas level in the car, right, and you see, oh, now again it's become less, it's decreasing. This fear is there. Because every day you're driving to the masjid. And now as Ramadan will begin, every day you're driving to the masjid in the morning and then in the night also. It happens. You look at the meter going down and down. And you look at the miles increasing. This is a natural fear. It is a fear. It happens. And even if a person is not afraid, he gets slightly worried that how am I going to continue like this? So, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And this is a hadith from Sahih al-Targhib wa al-Tarhib. Then another important matter that we learn in these ayat is that whenever we are facing a challenge, then what is it that we need to do? Resolve internal disputes. Do not fight with one another. Why? Because this hatred, it harms the cause. Therefore, leave it. This hatred, this constant fighting, what does it do? It discourages us. It demotivates us. It changes our intentions. And then we lack the strength to continue. So leave it. The Prophet ﷺ said, beware of evil with each other. Meaning be concerned about your mutual relationships. For indeed it is the haliqah. What is haliqah? One that completely mows down, one that completely shaves off. Meaning it is something that these enmities, what do? They completely destroy the good deeds of a person. If you think about it, in our personal lives also, if we entertain hate for another person in our heart, what is it going to do? Is it going to affect our prayers? Oh yeah. Is it going to affect our mood? Yes. Is it going to affect our speech? Yes. So this hatred, what is it? It is haliqah. It destroys a person. It destroys his potential to earn good, to do good. And then if this hatred exists between people who are working for the cause of Allah, then what will happen? Will it affect the work? Will it affect the work? Definitely it will. Because how can two people even sit together and work on something, or how can two people even work together to put away the chairs if they hate each other? You understand? How can this happen? I mean, even when it comes to folding the sheets, can we do that together? Because can one person fold these huge sheets themselves? Can they? No, we need the help of each other. But if we have dislike for each other in our hearts, can we pick up one side and take it to the other and give it to him? No, we cannot. What will happen? When we pick it up, we'll get angry. Why did she pick it up? And then look away and be upset over these petty issues, non-issues. So you see how the intention is changed? And when the intention is changed, then the reward is also destroyed. So the Prophet ﷺ said, beware of this evil with each other, for indeed it is the haliqah. It will not let you continue. It will not let you grow. Because you see, the work of deen is like a plant, is like a tree that needs to be grown. But when these enmities come in, then what happens? Then the lawnmower is passed on. And when it's passed on, then the beautiful flowers, the lovely grass, it's completely destroyed. Then what is it that our garden will produce? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. And do not be like those people who came forth from their homes insolently, arrogantly, and to be seen by people, and avert them from the way of Allah. And Allah is encompassing of whatever they do. Over here the indication is to the armies of the kuffar that came to fight the Muslims at the Battle of Badr. But because when they came, when they left their homes and they came for this battle, they brought with them women entertainers. They brought with them alcohol. And they indulged in many such pleasures, entertaining themselves and also motivating one another. Why? In order to fight the Muslims. So the Muslims are warned over here that you should not be like them. This is not how you celebrate, by showing off, by being extravagant. No, this is not the way of the believers. Even though it seems so attractive, yes, this is not the way of the believers. لَا تَكُونُوا. You should not be like them. Because there's a huge difference between the appearance of a Muslim and the appearance of a kafir. So maintain that difference. Do not imitate them. And remember, when shaitan made their deeds pleasing to them and said, no one can overcome you today from among the people, and indeed, I am your protector. We learned that shaitan literally came in human form to assist the non-Muslims in this battle. Literally, in human form he came. But what happened? But when the two armies sighted each other, Shaytan turned on his heels and said, indeed, I am dissociated from you. Indeed, I see what you do not see. What is it that he saw? Angels. Indeed, I fear Allah, and Allah is severe in penalty. Amazing. He fears Allah, yet he does not stop his wrong. So those people also who say that they fear Allah and they know what is wrong, yet they do not stop it, then who are they imitating? Whose way is it? Shaitan's way. Now what do we learn over here? That Shaitan, even though he came physically to participate in this battle, what happened when he saw the Muslim army? What happened when he saw the angels? He fled. He ran away. And this teaches us that Shaitan does not have any power over Allah's servants. He cannot overcome them. He cannot defeat them. He cannot control them. But this is when we are united, when we are firm, when we are doing our best, when we are doing the dhikr of Allah, when we are not busy fighting with each other, but we're busy working, doing what we have to do. Remember when the hypocrites and those in whose hands was disease said, their religion has deluded those Muslims. The hypocrites, they commented at this time that these people have gone crazy. How are these 300 going to fight 1,000? How are they going to survive? These 300, what do they have with them anyway? And these 1,000 people that have come, their enemy, they have so much. How on earth are they going to face this challenge? These people have gone crazy. They're putting their lives in danger. They're putting their lives in danger. What are they doing? Allah says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. But whoever relies upon Allah, then indeed Allah is exalted in might and wise. The fact is that this work cannot be done without trust in Allah. Think about it. The fasting in the month of Ramadan, can it happen without relying upon Allah? No. It cannot happen. But when some people find out that you are planning to fast this entire month and you're planning to do whatever you're going to do in this month, they think you're crazy. Who is it that thinks like this, that says this? Those people whose hearts are not fully in the favor of Islam. Those people in whose hearts Islam has not yet fully entered. Because if Islam had fully entered in their hearts, if they truly loved Allah, they would not make such statements. Because when you truly love somebody, then what happens? You have to look crazy in proving your love. Isn't it? You have to do some crazy things. You have to even say some crazy things. So much so that people say, you are doing something that does not make sense at all. You're doing things that are completely illogical. But you do this in love. Now, we see that when a person goes in the way of Allah also, then certain challenges come his way that may seem impossible. that may seem ridiculous. There may be certain things that he commits himself to, certain works that he commits himself to, and people discourage him saying, are you crazy? How are you going to do this? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to manage this? But the person who's working for the cause of Allah, he doesn't just keep looking at the numbers and the figures. He doesn't just calculate the hours. He doesn't just calculate the days. No. He's not just thinking about the amount of food he can have and the amount of water he can drink. What is his concern? What will make my Lord happy with me? And whatever it is that my Lord will be happy with, then I am going to do it. Even if it means I'm putting my own comfort at risk. Because think about it, the Sahaba, when they went in the way of Allah, weren't there times when they survived only on dates? Only on dates? We learn about one particular expedition that the Prophet ﷺ sent the Sahaba on. And there were about 300 of them. And they were near the coast of the sea. And what happened was that the mission became longer than they had expected. And they ran out of food supplies. So the leader of the Muslim army, he instructed that everybody bring whatever food supplies you have. So they brought it. Everybody brought whatever they had. And then it was distributed equally amongst the people. And so the Sahabi who was narrating this hadith, he was asked that, what is it that you got? He said, we just got dates. One date, half a date, that's all we got. He said, how did you survive? He said, we would suck the date and we would drink water over it so that we could get some flavor in our mouths. And then when we would have our turn, we would give that date seed to somebody else so that now he could suck on it and then drink some water on top of it. Now this is what? Craziness, isn't it? It means that you leave and go home. You stop what you're doing, you quit and you go home. But did the Sahaba leave? No, they did not leave. Why? Because they were working for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.